There is that which is able to create a supply for your every need, the Word of God, and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who helps us represent God's fullness on earth. In true intimacy, partnership, and fellowship with Him. Be a part of this and join us as the servant of God, Apostle Joshua Selman, brings to you the Word of God with simplicity and power.
Worship like this because the Bible says come before Him with singing. There is something about approaching His presence with this attitude and atmosphere of worship. Hallelujah. We worship Him because we respect Him. We worship Him because we give Him all the praise. We worship Him because we are helpless without Him. It's a revelation we are not ashamed of in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please greet one another. Just hug somebody. Tell them it's good to have you around. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for always taking out time every week to come. We can preach and teach and see the wonders of God in our midst because of your obedience to the word of the Lord. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 1. Please let's have our attention. I want to teach on something powerful.
Like you, there's no one beside you, and I lead the earth to worship you. I lead the earth to worship you. Who is there like you? No one beside you. I lead the earth to worship you. I lead the earth to worship you.
Hallelujah. Three things should happen to your life as a sign that you are growing. If you come to this place again and again and these three things do not happen in your life, we are wasting your time. Please leave. If you come here again and again and again and these three things do not happen in your life, I can assure you, do something better with your time. Number one. Transformation. If the word of God is not changing you, I'm not just talking about born again. If the word of God is not changing you, if the word of God is not changing your character, your attitude, your mindset, hallelujah, if you've been coming here for a while and you still hold on to the ideologies that you've had, if there is nothing that is compelling you to change, to drop those old ideologies, be it cultural, be it religious, be it demonic, be it worldly, be it carnal, if there is no force that compels you to lay down the ideology that you've had, then you are not growing. Hallelujah. When a man truly has an encounter with God, one of the things that must happen is transformation. 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 A change of mindset. A change of values. A change of ideology. A change of perception. Something must happen to your mentality. Listen, the word of God is a programming. The word of God is a programming. I told us last week, I went somewhere for a crusade and they were asking me, they said, what is the advice to Nigerian youth? I said, I don't have any advice for the Nigerian youth. The Nigerian youth, they don't need an advice. They need a programming, a change. Are you getting my point now? A change. Let me have someone. Aaron, good to see you. Hallelujah. Watch this. If this is the direction Aaron is headed, all right? If he's following this direction, I hope you know that he's taking this step based on a mindset. Is that true? Based on an ideology, based on a conviction, whether academic, whether cultural, whether religious, it doesn't matter. Now, what the word of God does is that when you collide with God through his word, there must be a force from the word greater than the force that was initially driving you. And that force changes your state. This is what we call repentance. To repent is not just to confess your sin. To repent is to lay down the ideology that takes you into that realm and bring you into a new philosophy, so that we can look at you and see that your thinking pattern has changed. Let me tell you, if your thought life does not change, if your mindset does not change, you can limit God in your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says they limited God in the wilderness. As mighty as God is, a man's mentality can limit God. For a long time, God wanted to bless Abraham, but the mindset of the traditional worship, the mindset of the culture he was coming from, limited God. God kept beckoning on him. I want to make you a father of nations. I want to make you great. But Abraham's mind could not cooperate with that which the Spirit wanted to do. And one day the Lord said, Abraham, come out of your house. I need to do something to your mind to align with my purposes for your life. Abraham, come out. He said, now look at the stars. Let me give you something to play around with. And when he tried counting the stars, he said, can you count them? He said, no. He said, so shall thy seed be. Finally, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Hallelujah. The power of God is not short to change and bring miracles and breakthroughs. It's just that we have been taught, and it's my job in the body of Christ to always address imbalances and error. On one side, we've been taught that everything depends on God. You have no role to play. You just be born again and there is a smooth ride. Common sense teaches you that it does not make sense. Are you following me now? Then on the other hand, we have men who are struggling just using concepts alone and human philosophy, forgetting that there must be a God factor in the equation of your life. Both extremes are very, very wrong. All through scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, there has always been a partnership between God through his Spirit and a willing vessel that can pay the price and allow his mindset to subscribe to the higher values of heaven. Hallelujah. The
the difference between brother A and brother B is not the color of their skin, is their degree of alignment to the Holy Spirit. How much they have submitted their mindset to take up the higher mindset of the values. Listen, the Bible says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Is that true? And that word, the Greek word, word there, word of God, is logos. It means the thoughts of God. So the word of God gives you his ideology. When you read my books, you study my persuasions, you study my convictions. Is that true? So if you stay long enough with my books and you open up yourself to the influence of my thought patterns, you will begin to think like me. Even if you've never met me, we will talk as though we've been together. This is the ministry of the word. It's not just to make us speak Christian language. No, the word of God is supposed to transcend. It produces a force. That force compels your mind to change, to align to spiritual things, so that when God wants to pass through your life, your ideologies will not resist him. Hallelujah. Bless you, Aaron. Everybody say transformation. Are you being transformed? It's not enough to come to church and sit down and keep writing. Is the word of God changing you? You can limit the power of the word of God. Some of you can choose to walk out of this place. Wow, nice sermon. So this is how koinonia is like. Wonderful. I'm impressed. I'm blessed. That can be your the things that you are carrying back home. And someone else can sit down and say, Lord, I'm aware that my mindset is the reason why I am where I am. My mindset has been limiting your work in my life. You want to bless me, but there's something in my life that resists you. You want to lift me. You want to make me great. But there's something, and I am aware. So I come to man. He needs to step into your soul realm and take complete charge of your mind, your mindset, so that your ideologies are a derivative of the word of God, not culture. There are aspects of culture that are good. There are aspects of culture that are devilish. Devilish. They were crafted out by wicked men, sponsored by spirits that are not under the influence of the Spirit of God. And many of us have grown up with these ideologies. And although you've gone to school, although you are working, although you are married, that mindset is stopping God from doing certain things in your life. Many of us have gotten mindsets from our past. You have a mindset concerning fatherhood. You have a mindset concerning marriage. You have a mindset concerning money, concerning prosperity, concerning poverty, concerning God, concerning the Holy Spirit. These are all mindsets that have been given unto us by a system that does not honor God. So when we come into his presence, we do not come just to say, Lord, add to what I have. Sometimes you need to say, Lord, open me up like a surgery, right? And pick out everything that does not align with your divine pattern. Everybody say transformation. Listen, if the word of God is truly changing you, then regardless of the fact that Aaron is from Kaduna State and Ken is from the East, you should have similarities in mindset, because you have laid down your personal culture to pick up the excellency of the culture of a higher kingdom. Hallelujah. But the issue is that many of us love seeing the power of God. We love seeing the grace of God. We love seeing people fall under the anointing and miracles happen. And there's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that it's the word of God changing you. The decisions you made last year, if you still make those decisions today, in spite of the power of God's word, then that's what they call frustrating the grace of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the days of our ignorance God overlooks, right? So if you do not know, God can create a system by his mercy to help you. But where the word of the Lord comes, it comes to build you. It comes to take you out of your current position. Hallelujah. Say, I allow the word of God to change me. Say it, I allow the word of God to change me. The worst evil you can do to yourself is to hold on to your mindset. Hold on to what you had that made you such a failure. It was the failure that brought you to the presence of God. And now God is saying, lay down this thing. Pick up another culture that can take you. Your ministry is grounded because of a mindset that is keeping you. Lay down that mindset and pick up another. Your marriage is not working because there is a mindset that is keeping you. Your relationship is not working because there is a mindset. Men run away from you because there is a mindset. Women run away because there is a mindset. The power of God is far. Favor is far from your life because there is an ideology that stands as an antichrist. But when you come to God's presence, He tells you, lay down this mindset. Lay down this mindset. That's your own responsibility. To say, Lord, all my life I've been taught that you must be a hustler to make it. Hit it left, right, and center. I saw my father hustling. I saw my mother hustling. I saw my elder ones hustling. And God says, the kingdom of God is not haphazard. Come and let me teach you how the economic system of the kingdom works. And you're like, Lord, is there even a system? And He says, yes, there is. You can walk circumspectly. Hallelujah. All your life, you've always known that if a lady wants to marry, she'll go to a herbalist with the picture of the person he wants to marry. And one goat. That's all. You've seen people around you dragging goats to herbalists to chain a brother and force him to get married. That's how you know it to be done. Now you are ready to get married. And they say, oh yeah, where is your own goat? And God is saying, He says, seek out of the book and read. None shall want her mate. So a new ideology starts coming. And I'm telling you, if you are changing, it will create blessings and create persecutions at the same time. Because you live in an environment with people who have refused to change. So your change begins to frustrate them. If they are not fighting you, you are not changing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something must change about your life. Everyone is used to bribing. If you want job, give this person through the back door 50,000, and they tell you, look, we're all Christians. In fact, I'm a pastor. As you see me like this, we all did it. And the moment you want to do that, a scripture rises up in you. Something changes. Is there anything too hard for me to do? I am that I am. And a scripture wells up in you. What fellowship has righteousness got to do with lawlessness? And what communion has light got to do with darkness? And you turn and tell them, I'm going to cry, but my God will give me this job. I will not bribe anybody, no bribery. And they say, look at how stupid you are talking. Nigeria, this thing has been there. He said, I may be a Nigerian, but I function from another realm. There is a kingdom that sponsors my life, and I'm an ambassador, and I can call on the embassy I represent. It may take a while, I may look stupid, but God is able to make it happen. The moment you speak, you mount pressure on God because He's the one you are representing. And for the sake of His reputation, you cause Him to step down. But many of us are ashamed at such points. You say, I went to school. How can I start talking about embassy, heaven? Please, let's be reasonable. What is 50,000? Hallelujah. Before now, your ideology has been the quickest way to be rich is pin down one rich man. Just find a rich, even if he's not born again, you will change him. Pin him down, force him to marry you. That's how they've been taught. And there are many people here, as you're sitting down, some is your parents, they've indirectly warned you. They say, have we not suffered in this life? You say, yes, we have suffered. Say, do you want us to continue like this? They say, no, sir. Say, tough. Complete the puzzle by yourself. What they are telling you indirectly is that no matter how born again this brother is, once he has not arrived, the promises are not there. Pack your load and go. And some of you, that's how you are looking. And God is sending a very godly brother. You are seeing him pray here. He's sweating in your presence. He's hearing the word of God that can change. But because he has not gotten to Canaan, while you are sitting down kicking away men, you will see a quick work that God will do in him. All of a sudden, Saul, who was a slave or a somebody else, will come in power and glory. And you will now look and say, ah, oh God, why didn't you show me a vision that this guy would change so fast? Say mindset. Say it. Some of you are already angry. It's too early. I've not started preaching. It's too early this night. Could it be that there is a mindset that is frustrating you? There are many pastors who are suffering and struggling in ministry because their mindsets about ministry will never change. I said it last week. They are looking for lifting quickly. They want everybody to call them a pastor. You call them Aaron, they say, Aaron, you didn't add pastor. That's a mindset, because you think that is the title that gives the dignity. He said, if you call yourself the children of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. Prove that you are the children of Abraham indeed. You don't move around saying, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher. He said, let her works speak for her at the gates. Who is God speaking to tonight? Your mindset is limiting him. Your mindset is limiting God. Your mindset is limiting God. Every brother that comes to marry you, something happens and he leaves. We have prayed for you. We knew the day you were delivered, so we are sure you are delivered, but things have not changed. That means there is a mindset problem. Listen, it's not everything that is demons. You must learn to take responsibility. Many of us receive solace in the fact that demons, when you hear them say it's not your fault, you say, yes, I've always known. It's your fault this night. You must take responsibility. I've always known from my father's house they want to kill me. But you were delivered. Everybody saw that God changed you. Why have things not changed? Because your mindset is a bigger demon, an antichrist that is standing between Canaan and Egypt. Hallelujah. There are Christians who still cheat in the exam hall. They say, forget it. I saw a pastor doing it with my own eyes. Ah, I even know him. If I mention his name, I saw him. So what? Hallelujah. What about living all kinds of immoral life? In the world, the primary purpose of relationship is for immorality. It's not even for marriage. It's just an official way of looking for a partner to be sleeping around with. So when a guy thinks he doesn't have enough courage to look around for ladies, he goes to find somebody and say, okay, we're in a relationship. They don't even know where they are going. Hallelujah. And there are believers who love God. Some of you are here, you are looking at me. You see, I'm not condemning you, but I'm saying that God must come face to face with the word. And when it comes, one must bow. You cannot embrace these things and say, let's go together. It can go, we can walk it. No, you cannot walk it. Light and darkness cannot stay in the same place. Don't say it does not matter. Let me tell you the truth. If you want to see the authentic glory of God in your life, no, it matters. And I always say this because many of us here are young people. Don't let anybody fool you and say everybody is doing it. No, sir. There are people who have tapped into a higher law. The Bible says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Until you climb that hill, it does not look like it's possible. Are you getting my point? I counsel people, I talk to people, and there are people who come and say, I love God, but try women. Hey, I can't see women. I don't. Is it really true that there are people who are keeping themselves? It's not by determination. Hallelujah. If it's by determination, maybe I would have had children that would do children's service for Koinonia. But there is a grace that takes you. So although you are human, people say, I beg, Jare, you are flesh and blood. No, but there is a spirit that lives inside you. The Bible says, know ye not that your body, listen, choose to believe this night. Don't let it sound childish to you. Choose to believe. If it was not possible, God would be a wicked person for putting that as a principle. Hallelujah. Transformation. There are some of us who can kill for money. That's your own mindset. You overcame ladies from birth. You don't even have a problem with ladies. Because you want to make it. Even if a lady stands naked in your front, once there's no money on her, you are leaving. You are not. The devil has been defeated when it comes to that one. But money, you can be dying. If they wave money, you will come back to life. There are people like that. They love money. They can just put money on their table and just be looking at it like this. They are not using it. It's like a drug they are taking. Your worst time in church is when they say giving. Of all sorts, even if they don't mention you, the fact that somebody else is going to drop money, you take it personal. You are not giving, but just seeing that money is leaving somebody, it's paining you. Something is moving in your body. Advise this guy to take it back. It's a spirit. It's a dangerous spirit. Hallelujah. There are many of us who have certain mindsets of laziness. Laziness. Hallelujah. A man will sleep till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You are a man. When do you want to marry next year? Till 1 o'clock, you are still sleeping. And you will see one of our sisters who has been trusting God, preparing herself like a bride for a very nice person. You just believe that because we say hug one another in Koinonia, it gives you a license to just get up carelessly and just go and meet a sister and say, Shebide, say, let's get to know one another. No. Are you preparing for that future? I'm challenging you tonight. Say transformation. What mindset have you refused to drop down? Romans chapter 12. Can you imagine that I've not even touched my message? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Say, the word of the Lord is changing me. Say, it is changing me. It's building me. Romans chapter 12. Okay. Let's stand there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Be ye, how do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You get transformed when you take your mind to the theater of the spirit and a surgery is performed. The spirit of God himself. and the surgical knife is the word of God that is able to cut across the bones and the marrows, and it opens you up and begins to edit your life. And when it is done, you come back a brand new person. Hallelujah. There are many of us, those around you, who are unbelievers. There's no pressure that your life is bringing to them. In fact, they are comfortable. A guy can, I'm not talking of condemnation and just pointing fingers at people and say you're going to hell. No, but that there is an illumination that your transformation can bring to anybody that is not serious with God. That if somebody's prayer life is dying, he doesn't even need to tell you. All he needs to say is, can I come and spend weekend in your house or in your room? And they are so sure that at the end of 3 days, something will change in their lives. Hallelujah. There are some channels, if you are walking in sin, you will never want to turn to those channels. Perpetually, 24 hours, you will hear a message almost immediately within a space of 5 minutes that will judge you. Dove TV, redeem. RTM, you know that? Once you are doing something wrong, you want to look for another channel that can accommodate what you are doing. When you turn to those ones, you hear Papa Adebo, just give 5 minutes. Something is already flogging the nonsense in you. Can your life be like that? That people are gossiping and talking stories about others, and as soon as you step in, everybody just keeps quiet because a true ambassador stepped in. One who will not compromise. Not that when you step in, say, hey, come, add to this discussion. What were you even saying that day? No. Hallelujah. That in your office, when they are mentioning men and women of integrity, your name must be mentioned. And they know that, no, if you want to throw this person, try it another way. Bribery will not work. Even if it means him being demoted, just forget it. There is no issue of having a meeting with him. It will not happen. Come on now. Listen, if this is not happening in this place, then we are wasting our time. I don't care how many people fall on the ground, roll on the ground, even if you float in the air, if it does not translate to transformation in your life, then we are lying somewhere. Hallelujah. So is your mindset changing? Ask your neighbor. Say, is your mindset changing? What did he tell you? Ask him who can verify that you are changing. You can't call somebody that you bought something for in the afternoon to verify whether you are changing or not. The answer will certainly be yes. Your enemy is the only person with the right to testify whether you truly fear God or not. It was Satan that came to testify about Job. Is that true? Satan himself, he said, no, come on now, I've seen a man, Job. Satan, the father of all liars, a man's integrity compels Satan to tell the truth. He said, I know, I'm a liar, I can twist things, but this one, there's nothing I can say against this man. May that be your testimony. That somebody can look at you and say, I know, I hate Ken. Let me tell you, I hate him. But when you are talking about a man who is a Christian indeed, I'm an unbeliever. As you see me, I don't fear God. Let me go to hell, but I can tell you, this person. Have you seen people like that? They don't respect God. They look at you and say, see, this cigarette in my pocket. But I can point to you who are the real men of God. And you will even be talking. It was in Antioch when unbelievers called this set of people Christians. Those who were behaving like Christ. Not religiously, something had happened to them. See, if your mindset does not change and you are trying to fake it, it will frustrate you. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day you will be tired. If you don't have a revelation of giving and you are giving, 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 one day when there's nobody, say, Kai, I'm tired, honestly. Thank God this my wicked roommate is not going to follow me for Koinonia today. I'm tired. That's how you can see many people serve in the body of Christ. Immediately they leave to another geographical location. Within 2 or 3 months, they've changed in a way. You'll be like, this brother used to lead prayers. What suddenly happened? They really did not get it. I'm telling you, there is a way you get it. It becomes like a cancer in you. No matter how much you fall, you can't go too far. The fraternity is too much. It's like a cult. When you see people claim to love God and 2 months away from an environment of God's presence, they just change. They really did not get it. You can be among believers, I hope you know, doing what everybody is doing, but everybody knows the foundation and the root where he's standing. And the Bible says, let he that stands take heed lest he falls. So number one, transformation. Number two, three things that must happen in your life. You ready? Number two is that your life must bear fruits. It must produce results. Write it. Fruits. Results. The fruit in a tree is a sign that that tree has been well nourished and that it is alive and growing. Jesus cursed a fig tree not because he did not see green leaves. He cursed the fig tree because it was taking up nutrients from the earth, but it was not producing fruits. Your life must prove that God is at work in you, not just by transformation. Transformation is good. We talk about character and conformity, but there must be results in your life. Everyone say results. Bishop Oyedepo said the end of every argument is proof. You don't argue with proof. Are you getting my point now? When John the Baptist sent that they should go and ask Jesus, are you the Messiah or should we expect another? Jesus did not even answer. He just turned, started healing the sick, casting out devils. He said, go and tell John what you have seen. Is this not the evidence that was given to him in the wilderness that the Messiah would do? Now see me doing it. Why are you asking again? Hallelujah. When you are a Christian and you are excellent in your job, they give you a task to do. You do it with a dimension of intelligence that is not known to those people. There is a proof there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you keep loving God and you get to a point, look, let me tell you, if you serve God with time, everything around your life should change. I'm not one of those people who believes that you should just sit down. Of course, in the process, there are lots of things to contend against, but with time, there must be fruit that sign upon your life that God is with you. Even if you work for the devil, even if you work for the devil, one day, ultimately, he's going to destroy you, but at least in the interim, you will reap the dividends of allegiance. Is that true? There are all kinds of worldly people who are about to Dagon, and although they are going to hell if they do not repent, but in the interim they are enjoying heaven on earth. At least that's the consolation to keep them. Satan took Jesus to a mountain and said, Jesus, if you will bow to me, I promise you. I've not started preaching. That's the problem. You just look now and see that it's past 9. I wish there was a way I can throw all these clocks out of this place. There's so much in my spirit to share. Hallelujah. Everybody say results. Say proofs. If you claim God is calling you in a healing ministry, it's okay that when we start, nothing is happening. But with time, there should be the signature of God upon your healing ministry. I do not know any healing evangelist who organizes a crusade and God does not confirm it. If he's a true healing evangelist, somebody should be sick. Somebody should arise from the wheelchair. I do not know one true person who carries the apostolic spirit of God, who struggles with fear and timidity and does not have the power of faith and the work of God in their lives. I do not know one person like that, except they are just talking stories. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, may my life produce results. Many of you, this is the level you are right now. The reason why nobody has listened to you or subscribed to your ideologies is because they have not seen the benefit. Is that true? And I want to be very honest with you. Benefit in every area of life. Financially, maritally, job-wise, in every area of your life. No matter how critical people are, let me tell you, proof can close the mouth of anybody. Are you getting me? You can criticize a man. The greatest way to respond to your critics is not by answering. Don't waste your time. They are determined not to understand. Keep trailing the proofs. Let the works keep speaking at the gates. A point will come, those they are talking to will say, I'm tired of hearing your stories. You, where is your own proof? Hallelujah. When Jesus hung upon the cross, about to die, the Bible says the atmospheric condition, the climate just changed. And those who looked there, they just remembered and truly they acknowledged. Even in death, they saw something. There are many of us, it will just take one proof. Everybody say one proof. One proof for every unbeliever in your house to bow down. They've grown in poverty. They've suffered in poverty. Although that's not an ultimate reason to push them to God. But trust me, prosperity can bring men to God. Hallelujah. When every herbal medicine has failed, when every black substance they tied in the leather and they told your father to chuck in the pocket of all his trousers to bring prosperity, when he has put it in every pocket and it refused to bring prosperity, and you come teaching the principles of the kingdom and things begin to change, come on now. You don't argue with proofs. Hallelujah. May your life produce results in the name of Jesus Christ. May you not be like the barren fig tree. A fig tree with green leaves. That means they are seeing you coming for koinonia every week. Every week. To an extent that others can look at you and mock you and say, where is your God? I prophesy to you, your God is coming through for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, your God is coming through to silence every Pharaoh that attempts to mock your God. Your life will produce results in the name of Jesus Christ. Results. I believe in results. I believe in results. Many of you are here by the grace of God, not necessarily because you love me. Some of you don't even love me at all. You don't plan to. It's just that you need the results. Hallelujah. But you are still welcome. And the power of God is such that the results can be reproduced again and again and again. That's why I love the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to refrigerate it. You don't need to give your neighbor to keep it for you and collect it on, except you use talisman. That's why I worship him. Take his presence and his glory out of my life. Many of you will see me on the street and pass as if you just saw a tire on the floor. That's why I feel sad for people who want to come out of inferiority and complex and kick God out of the equation and they believe they'll be able to rise without him. Impossible. Impossible. If you are tired of your condition, the greatest way is to embrace God first. Hallelujah. Because God will take you out of every situation. Results. Your life must bear fruit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, my life must bear fruit. Go ahead, pray in 1 minute. Pray in 1 minute. I don't just want us to talk it as stories. My life must bear fruit. Shekata ba 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 ba. My life must bear fruit. My life must bear fruit. I've been born again for many years. No soul has come to the kingdom as a result of my life. Lord, I'm tired. I've been praying for the sick. I don't have one verifiable testimony. Let this change, oh God. Everyone I've prayed for breakthrough, they've returned with worse situations instead of making it better. But Lord, I've told them you are with me. Change my story. The finance of my family has not changed. Lord, I'm not loving you just because of finances. But if my finances change, my father will follow me to church. If my finances change, if my loved ones get admission, they will come to know you. For their sake, oh God, let there be results in my life. Jinde preke sita baladabo zoto prende gele baladaba. Mekreto so supriya taka shilabania. Rakata prede gede baladabash. Please pray. I sense that God wants us to pray on this issue. Mata prete ke shebeledebo sete bakata rakata baladaba. My life must bear fruits. My life must bear fruits. My life must bear fruit, oh God. I'm tired of a barren and unfruitful Christian life. My ministry is not growing. Pray, because there's no proof. My God, people come and they leave. If there are real miracles, if there are real transformations, they will come and stay. Everyone mocks my family in spite of our spirituality, because they have not seen God change our level. Turn again, oh God, the captivity of Zion like the streams of the Negev. Let men see an evidence that God is with us. Pray. Say, Lord, let the marriage come, even if it is to prove that Jesus is alive, to prove that the witches and the wizards and the devils in my village do not have the final say. Lord, I know that there is a cause of poverty that lingers in my family, but I've confessed your word that it is broken. Let it show in my life as a testament so that idol worship can stop in my family. We have no right to tell men to stop going to herbalists if we cannot produce the proofs that God is with us. We have no right to tell people to stop going to the devil to get children if we cannot heal the barren. We have no right to tell people to stop going to the devil to get money if we cannot prove that God prospers people. Lift your voice and pray. Get angry. Change my story. Change my story. Oh God, I have served you in spite of the result, but tonight I hold on to you. Change my story. Pray, Koinonia. There is a spirit of intercession that has come upon the house. Pray. Change my story. Change my story. Change my story. Prove a point with my life. Make me an object of praise. Silence the voice of wicked men. Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say, where is his help? But I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help.
My help comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. Oh God, let there be a difference between those that serve you and those that do not serve you. Come on, saints of God, travail for your destiny. There must be an evidence. You have been transformed, but there are no results. There are no results. Men have a right to speak against your God. Lord, hasten my miracle. Come on, pray. Hasten my miracle. Hasten the breakthrough. Please pray. God is answering people in this place. Lord, give my father the job. Although my auntie is past menopause, give her a child as a sign and a wonder that God is alive. Although my sister is 40 years old, give her a husband that men may know that God is alive. Although my father was sacked from the job, give him another one, oh God, to prove that you may be a prophet over my family. Lord, you have vowed to increase my greatness. Produce results in my life. Come on, Koinonia, pray. Produce results in my life that can silence men. Produce results that can prove that my God is alive. I love him more than the results. But in this season, I desire to see the result. Command it. Command it. Increase my greatness. Let the blind see through my hands, O God, for your glory. Pray. Let the wheelchair arise to silence principalities and power. Open the heavens, O God. And let prosperity come upon my life where I've been rejected. No man wants to identify with me. Make me an eternal excellency. Come on, are you praying, Koinonia? And a joy of many generations. Hallelujah. 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 We'll take one prayer point before we settle down. You're going to pray and say, Lord, every power that stops my miracles from the heavenlies so that men will keep mocking my God, tonight I command you to give way. Come on, lift your voice and pray. Daniel prayed for 21 days. The angel came and said, Daniel, from the first day that you set yourself to pray, your prayers were answered. But the prince of Persia, pray. I subdue powers that operate in the heavenly territorial spirit. I subdue powers in the heavenly realm. I subdue powers, workers of evil. You must bow. There is fire in my life. There is fire in my destiny to burn every chaff, everything God has not planted. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it from your life. I shake away witchcraft. I shake away divination. I shake away enchantment. Come on now. Shake it off. In the name of Jesus, no power can stand. I am an infant of fire. No enchantment, no curse can stand against my destiny. Pray. Your prayer will bear fruits. It will produce results. Pray. The effectual, fervent prayer. Repetekete is our season of greatness. We wage war against poverty. We wage war against sickness. We wage war against the works of darkness. It's our season to arise. Come on now, pray. Make your life too hot for the devil. Make your life too hot for witches and wizards. Make your life too hot for wicked spirits. Break the yoke from your neck. Break the yoke from your shoulders. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Tell the devil, I stand in my priestly and my prophetic office. Tonight, I confront you by myself. I confront you by myself. I confront you by myself. Hallelujah. Listen. There must come a time in your life where you stop getting afraid and rise up and say, Satan, I've had the word enough. I don't need to wait for Friday again. Come into my room like Mount Carmel. Let's solve this problem once and for all. They've not laid hands on me for nothing. They've not laid hands on me for nothing. One more time, we are going to pray. Come on, pray. This is breakthrough prayer. This is breakthrough prayer. I sense the spirit of prayer and supplication. I must break through. On every side, there is power in prayer. There is power when the saints pray. There is power when you pray. Make contact with the spirit. Hallelujah. I feel an open heaven. I know when there is an open heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I taught you on the speaking blood. We are going to apply the blood of Jesus. You're going to say, Satan, this is the price to release my destiny. I invoke the blood. Come on now, Koinonia. I invoke the blood. Every sacrifice that has been done and made, I invoke the blood. The blood of Jesus. I invoke the blood. I slay the gates of hell through the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The Christ. Let's go. Hallelujah. 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 Listen. Come. Let me have four people. Let me show you what prayer does in the spirit. Let me just have four people stand here. Just turn like this. Facing. Stand. Just stand behind. Watch this. Watch this. Someone come and hold this. Anybody. This is your miracle. This is your breakthrough. But watch this. Stand there. Please shift forward. Paul said, listen. He said, a great door and an effectual has been opened unto me. He said, but many are the adversities. These are the spirits. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Watch this. The Bible says, if any man afflicted, let him pray. If any man afflicted, let him pray. When you begin to pray, watch this. There is a force. There is a force of the spirit that begins to mount pressure on all of these things. It's an ability of the spirit. You push through barriers by the power of God's spirit until you take what belongs to you. Listen. That's why God gives you, one of the reasons why he gives you the prayer language of tongues. Praying in your understanding will weary you after 20 minutes. The Bible says you may not understand the dynamics on how to confront this spirit, but when you switch to that prayer language, the Holy Ghost, hey, the Holy Ghost, listen, when you begin to pray, something happens in the spirit. Come on, when your prayer life rises, God must let you go. If you pray, let you go. If you pray, Hallelujah. See, listen. There is a way you can pray. You will know when you break through. The reason is, the truth is, many believers don't pray. Hallelujah. There is a way you can pray. You will know your spirit is lifted from that realm. You will know an audacity comes upon you. You know you can shake off evil. Oh. Hallelujah. One more prayer point before you sit down. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I take back everything the devil has taken from my family. Prophesy.
Shita. Wabata keteria.
Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and I want to prophesy. As I prophesy, the power of God will be causing breakthroughs and restoration. The anointing of the Spirit is strong upon me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command every power holding anyone down right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you, let them go. Let them go. Right now. Let them go. I prophesy breakthrough. I command breakthrough. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I command breakthrough. To your family, breakthrough. Financial breakthrough. Breakthrough in health. Breakthrough in your academic. Breakthrough in your job. In the name of Jesus. Open heaven. Open heaven. It's your season, divine. It's your season of greatness. Every power stopping you, we challenge it tonight. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. God bless you. Be seated. Your life must become uncomfortable for anything that is not of God. See, I tell you, the power of God is, I sense such a strong anointing resting on people. As I teach, God is going to be visiting people in very strong ways. Enough is enough. God gave us a word. He said, I will increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. I'm not sure I can go into the details of tonight's teaching, but I hope I'll be able to touch. I really have a very serious revelation that I want to share. Let's see how far God can help us wherever we stop. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, verse 26. The Lord gave us a word that this year for us is a season of light and dominion. It's not just
a word, like many ministries have a word at the beginning of the year. Hallelujah. Light. He said, they that sat in Naphtah and Zebulun have seen a great light. A great light. Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them, this man. I hope you know that when he was speaking, the woman was still in the man. Because man, Adam, not the name of a man, dust. Hallelujah. Man was first created. Body hast thou prepared for me. Hallelujah. And then he brought about a separation between the man and the woman. But before then, he blessed them. And he said, let them have dominion. Now listen. It is in the character of the Spirit that the same word that brings you prophecy is the same word that prepares the way for that prophecy to come to pass. Are you getting my point? The Bible says, when at the brook Cherith, when the brook dried, it told Elijah the prophet, he said, get thee, go down to Zarephath. He said, there I have commanded a widow to feed thee. But the woman did not sound like God had informed her a prophet was coming. However, the same word that took Elijah to Zarephath was the same word that softened the heart of the woman. So when God gives you a word, the word follows you through and makes sure that the path is clear until that word comes to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when God said, let man have dominion, that means there must have been a provision for that man to access what it takes to walk in that dominion. Hallelujah. God does not just speak empty talk. It's like sending a man to the market and not giving him money. So let's see how God equipped man to exercise dominion in reality. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. I wish we had time, but I'll just touch briefly wherever. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. Now watch this. Everybody look up. The Bible says God made every other tree to grow from the ground. Are you following me? However, the Bible says there were two trees. Those trees did not grow from the ground. Follow me. Are you getting my point? The Bible says God made to grow every tree pleasant to the eyes that is good for food. Then it says the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And then it says, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Please follow me. I want to teach you powerful spiritual laws that can help you to walk in dominion, to eat of every tree, including the tree of life. Are you getting my point? The first revelation I want you to have is that man's eating the tree of life was not for hunger. Are you getting me? Adam could not be hungry. He was not in a fallen state. Are you getting me? In the realm of the spirit, you don't eat for hunger. You eat for impartation and knowledge. That's what food does in the spirit. Food does not satisfy hunger. No. When you eat food, like let's say in spiritually, now I'm not talking of all these demonic things that people, you saw yourself eating suya in the dream. That's not what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You don't eat in the spirit to satisfy hunger. Food does two things for you in Eden's atmosphere. One, it gives you knowledge. Two, it gives you impartation. Hallelujah. That's why the prophet was given the word and he ate it. When he ate it, he did something to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now watch this. Everybody write the mystery of forbidden knowledge. That's not the topic. I want to show you what the two trees were supposed to represent. One was the tree of life. The other was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Another word was it carried what we call the mystery of forbidden knowledge. The word mystery just means hidden truths about a knowledge that God does not want his people to know. Not because he hates them. You must understand this. God does not want us to know everything. And then I will show you what the angels came and did. The fallen angels, when they came, they did something to the daughters of men. Are you getting me? They took from this forbidden knowledge and they began to feed mankind with it. Time. Praise God. God categorically warned man. He said the trees in the Garden of Eden, every time you eat them, they will do something to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you eat of the tree of life, it will keep giving you the revelation and the insight to walk in dominion. It gives life. Eating of that tree gives life. Are you getting me? That's the mystery of eternal life, adumbrated by that tree. That's why when Jesus came, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. If man wants to live, he must keep eating something. Are you getting me? So, walking experientially, for eternal life to be culminated in you, there is something that must be done in you. Please listen. And this is where I want to balance. This is where we get the concept of immortality. How many of you have heard all those teachings of immortality? Now, unfortunately, many people brought the teachings, but they did not understand how the operation. Immortality is not something you claim. Immortality is a product of eating of the tree of life again and again. It causes eternal life, not just to translate from your spirit to your soul, but to happen in your body. And that's where you say, oh death, where is your sting? Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, it so happens that our rate of transformation is so slow. Are you getting me now? That the degradation of the sin nature in our body catches up with us before these capsules of rejuvenation find expression in us. This is why, although the law of immortality is at work, not many people will ever enter it. The secret is not just prayer for long life. The secret is intercoursing with this eternal life. That was how Adam was supposed to live forever. Are you getting my point now? So by eating of the tree of life, that was why when he fell, God said, no, you can't eat of the tree of life again. Because the tree of life keeps you in whatever state you are and stops you from dying. If he ate of the tree of life, salvation, redemption would not be possible again. So God drove him out. Are you seeing that now? God didn't just drive him because he was angry. He drove man out of the garden because he loved him. Praise the Lord. What is this? I want to explain to you. What is this mystery of forbidden knowledge? Look up. How many of you have heard of certain books called the books of Moses? Right? 10 books of Moses, 11 books of Moses. How many of you have heard of all these extra biblical references that were written by Egyptians and written by all kinds of peoples? Have you heard of those kinds of things? How many of you have heard of people that lived long ago in mountains who wrote certain books that were found? Now listen, if I don't teach you this, because the Lord began to reveal to me that this is the strategy the devil is bringing. When the angels, do you know why God did not want man to know? I hope you know that Adam never knew that before his coming, there was a history. Hallelujah. He had never eaten of the tree that gives the knowledge of good and with it comes evil. Are you getting me? Adam was supposed to eat of the tree of life and continue his intimacy with God and reproduce children after his kind. When Satan came into the garden, Satan did not make Adam sleep with a dog. No, he knew that that would not get the agenda done. He said, man, come. There is one tree I want you to touch. Just taste it once. It will do something to you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Everybody say forbidden knowledge. This is the information that through sorcery and witchcraft, please hear me, the fallen angels and all of these aliens and all of these devilish spirits, they downloaded and brought to inhabitants in the earth. Are you getting me? These were the informations that were given men like Nimrod. So they had super intelligence about certain things. Are you following me? I want to shock you. I hope you will believe me. Look at me. Did you know that most of our technological advancement, are you getting me, are as a result of fraternity with beings that were not in the earth? Are you getting me? It had to be a supply of a level. It's not just human discipline. Don't mind what all those books tell you. Just be hardworking and think well. No, sir. Those people had interactions with things. Is that how did Solomon become extremely rich and blessed? What happened to him? God visited him from another realm. Is that not true? They had a conversation. Listen, this conversation is still happening in the earth till today. Are you following me? Let me share with you something very briefly. I hope you believe me. The Bible says Jesus was given the parable of the wheat and the tare. Is that true? He said, while men, everybody, while men, hold on. He says, while men slept, something happened in the earth realm where men were sleeping. Now, the sleeping is not bad. We always use that sleep to mean while men were backsliding. No, he meant literal sleep. That means there is something that cannot happen when men are awake. Are you getting me? Jesus was telling us something powerful. He says the moment men sleep, some beings can walk into the earth. And he said the enemy quickly comes, plants something and goes his way. So you wake up with a growth that was not there before you slept. Is somebody following me? What happened? Who came and put it there? While men slept. Are you seeing why the Bible says the keeper of Israel neither nor? It says every time men sleep, something happens in this earth realm. There are certain beings that come into the earth realm. That's why people sleep in the night, and in their dream realms they have all kinds of encounters with beings and animals, and all kinds of things happen, from intercourse to eating to every kind of thing, and they wake up the next day only for them to fail at work or fail in exams. Something happened while men slept. The psalmist saw this in Psalm 91 and he says, thou shalt not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, right? Not the noisome pestilence. But many believers are dull of understanding. Dominion. Dominion is not just a function of I claim it. There is spiritual intelligence that can bring you into that position where you walk in dominion. Are you hearing what I'm saying, please? Are you getting something? So, these three of the knowledge of good and evil was never supposed to be consumed by man. Are you getting me? Look at me. When you open that book, you will find good, but you will not know when evil is planted in the good. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why a pastor can go and read the 12 book of Moses or go and read Scientology and be looking at it and saying, wow, so candles or certain things can do something to witches and wizards. Everybody say forbidden knowledge. Are you getting that now? And then they read certain zodiac books and they look and they say, why not I add this knowledge to what I already have? Are you getting what I'm saying? And they will seem to walk powerfully. That is the forbidden knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes we celebrate it. What do we call it? Rema. Is that true? And we bring all kinds of things. I've heard about men of God and prophets and all kinds of people who do every kind of nonsense in the body of Christ. All kinds of magic happening everywhere. I once heard of a man of God who came for a program and he was preaching and he called somebody. He said, look at me. The person who looked at him became blind at once. Yes, completely blind at once. Members were clapping. People were running to come and drop seed. I don't know what they were tapping into, but they were running and everybody was happy. Watch this. And then after the guy preached, he did everything and then he prayed again and the guy was open. And he said, for that reason, everything that is closed in everybody's life, you know, I open it and you see everybody just shouting amen. Listen. Let me tell you. Listen. Will people get results? They will get tremendous results. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the laws that have been operated are valid spiritual laws. But this is the point. Because it was not initiated and sponsored by the Spirit of God, although it is correct knowledge, it is called witchcraft. So it's not about what produces results. It's about the Spirit of God initiating and sustaining that process. Hallelujah. There are many teachings coming to the body of Christ. Men and women of God who went to lock themselves to pray for 3 days and 7 days or whatever. And in the midst of this prayer, because many people did not exalt the word above prophecy, they had visitations, but they were not of God. However, they were not visitations of inhabitants of the earth. And they came and committed to them power and gave them all kinds of things. And they came out from all of those experiences. And you see power, you see anointing, but it is not initiated and sponsored by the Spirit. And the sign is number one. The glory never goes to God. Such kinds of people never give God the glory because it is part of the agreement. Are you following me now? It is God's desire that we grow. The Bible even said knowledge shall increase, but you must guard. When the table is set before you, you are only permitted to eat of the tree of life. There is a kind of knowledge that only puffs up. Have you seen people? Hold on. I want to say a few things that will challenge you. Have you seen a lot of people? Please, I don't mean this for criticism or anything. Have you seen a lot of people who got mad as a result of prayer? Have you seen those kinds of things? That somebody got to pray and he started praying until they took him to the psychiatry and locked him. I remember a lady years ago. This lady was praying in tongues seemingly for about almost 48 hours. I was there. ABU security. This girl was just praying. She wouldn't listen to anybody. I wish I knew what I know now. And the thing confuses the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody say forbidden knowledge. Men of God, if you are in ministry here, you have to be very careful. That insatiable lust for rhema and revelation, you must guard carefully. and let the. That's why walking in the spirit is the secret. It gives you life. When you walk in the flesh, you may learn a lot of principles that, although they are powerful, it leads men to death. So the more revelation a man is getting, the more he's dying. Not to self, dying as a result of the absence of light. See, this is how you know, is one character to know that a man is not of God. When you compare the rate of revelation versus the rate of transformation, when there is so much word, conferences happening, conventions happening, meetings happening, rhema upon rhema, Bible study, all kinds of things, yet you do not see that that word is chaff. It lacks the life to build people. There is error. I hope somebody is learning something here. God put two trees, and all the trees can supply knowledge. For one, it is the knowledge that brings life. There are certain teachings on deliverance that does not bring life. Is that true? There are certain teachings on deliverance that brings people into bondage. Because people added Bible knowledge plus confessions that they got from people who were once witches and wizards. Is that true? And they added everything. And they say, if you want the devil to run away from you, once it's 9 o'clock, wear red. That one is not in the Bible. You see that? That is deception dimension there. Is somebody following what I'm saying? I apologize if maybe these are the tenants of your church or your ministry. I really apologize. I love the body of Christ, but I have to teach you the truth. So there is the biblical concept of deliverance, for instance. Then there are others who have spent their entire life interviewing seemingly witches and wizards, begging for audience with herbalists to explain to them the realm of the spirit, knowing that Satan is the father of all liars. Are you getting my point now? And it is on the strength of those information they have built their prayer ministries or built a lot of things. So when you want to pray for somebody, you look and say, I can't pray for you like this. You are wearing a black shoe. Change it into a special kind of slippers that you wear when you enter my this thing, for the power to work. This one is astrology and witchcraft. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Or you get all kinds of candles with different colors. This flame, that flame, this flame. And you say, now come and sit in the midst of it and just be calm as I drive this spirit. This is called transcendental meditation. This is witchcraft. Hallelujah. Yet, you come and sit there in the midst of that candle. Something suddenly happens to you, and you start taking first in the class. All of a sudden, your intelligence is heightened. You think beyond your level, and because
Hallelujah, thank you.
Are you following my story, please? Because you are getting results, you will be encouraged. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be careful, because many people are eating of the forbidden tree. They are eating right now, today, here and now. They are getting access to knowledge that seems to be producing results. Thank you. But that knowledge is not of God. Maybe some of us right here, as you are sitting down, are already in these deceptions. The moment you read those books, although they are blowing your mind, but something in your spirit starts checking. The Holy Ghost is telling you, when did you get into this? When did you get into this? And you see, these books are in our libraries. You can get them online. Many of you have watched every kind of thing. You see a man who has supernatural ability to listen to plants and animals, and you sit down. There are all kinds of books. People research online how to hear the language of plants and animals, and they put all kinds of codes. They say recite it by 12 or 1.
many Christians, you get up, carry your big head and stand in front of the mirror and now recite it. The last you recite it and just wake up and see that it's morning. You slept. Something happened to you. You may not know what happened again. Anytime God wants to take in and bring out of a man, sleep happens. And God caused Adam to sleep. Hallelujah. Are you understanding this? We're talking about dominion through spiritual intelligence. The knowledge that leads to death. I'm going to share with you very importantly, very quickly, two laws. Even if it's just in 5 minutes. Wherever we stop, that's it for the night. Two important spiritual laws that can help us. I'm committed to making sure that God grants us spiritual intelligence. That we have knowledge. This is what makes you strong in the spirit. Prayer is good, but it's not just enough to pray. You must have knowledge. So that when you see things, you know what laws are in place. And you know what to do about them. Knowledge takes away ignorance. Knowledge takes away shock from your life. So that you are not surprised about anything. When you hear that something has happened, you don't just panic. You understand. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Law number one is called the law of territory. If you want to walk in dominion, you must understand this law. The law of territory. Everybody say the law of territory. Look up, please. Dominion is territorial. Dominion is territorial. Even in the satanic organogram, they understand the jurisdiction and the boundaries of territories. There are spirits and principalities that do not operate in the earth realm. It's not their territory of work. Are you getting me? Every time they are on the earth realm, they are powerless. There are certain demonic operations that are territorial. I'll give you an instance. When you go to certain territories in this Nigeria, you see that there are certain traits and satanic operations given to that territory. When you go outside of the territory, it doesn't seem to have a hold on you again. Is that true? And you go into another territory, maybe it's drunkenness that is there. You go to another territory, maybe it's lust and immorality. The operations of the kingdom and the operations of the spirit are territorial. Every man, every kingdom citizen must know this. Abraham, come out of your father's house. Come out of this territory where you are into a land that I will show you. And if you do get to that land, then I will bless you. And you will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. But that will only happen if you leave one territory to another. Everybody say dominion is territorial. It's a spiritual intelligence that you must understand. Number two is that you must understand very, very clearly that in the place of your assignment, that is where you will exercise true dominion. Everything opens up for you at your assigned territory. There is an assigned territory where the spirit of dominion can walk in your life. Hallelujah. This is what a lot of people do not understand. Please look up. You must take out time to hear from God. Are you getting me? As to where He wants you to be at every season. Not just what you want Him to do for you, but where. Your blessings are territorial. And Isaac sowed in that land. Genesis 26 from verse 12. And Isaac sowed not just in any land. Although there was famine, God told him, this is your territory of dominion.
sow in that land. A man of God may go to Zamfara and sit down and say, Zamfara is not a lucrative place. Let me run to Abuja for ministry. And he goes outside of territory. Are you getting my point? And you see a man struggling in a land of plenty, he's struggling. Yet you will see another man in the same Zamfara. Blessings coming from people, those who are born again and those who are not born again, because you are in the place of your territory. Say the law of territory. Many of us right now are at the phase of our lives where we are trusting to know where God wants us to settle for every season. It can change, but that in every season there is a territory. You miss your territory, you will never walk in dominion. Because where God has assigned you, he has commanded the ravens to feed you. He has commanded the widow to attend to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll never forget when we finished a crusade in Jos. And the PFN people called me in the particular local government in Jos. And they said, would you come and establish a branch of your ministry? We'll give you an auditorium free and we'll give a few pastors to train. I was happy. I went to God. God said you would die. I told the PFN people, God said I would die. I'm really sorry. I can't go. As simple as that. Many of you would have said, breakthrough. God has buttered my bread. And you will go there. That's why you can see a ministry flourishing in a particular place. And then they move to a place and it's as though God did not call them again. Favor is a sign that you are in the right place. When I sent thee, lackest thou anything? When I sent thee, lackest thou anything? By the grace of God at this level of ministry, I can tell you, I am sure that we are in the place assigned. That's why it doesn't matter what venue we use. Whether it is Blue Roof, whether it is Charity and Faith, whether it's whatever. There seems to be grace backing us. So many people have called me. One lady said, them and their family members, they are praying that I must come to Abuja. They say, relocate. Your level is bigger than Zaria. I said, I appreciate you. But I remember there was a man called Ahithophel in scripture. Don't let people advise you out of your destiny. They may be genuine. They look at you and say, Kai, Zaria, it's too much for your level. Say, it's true. Just that, what will we do? And you start thinking. And pack your load out of your destiny into a land where there is no assigned space for you. You get into the land and there is no divine assignment for you. There's no space for you. You keep fighting and struggling with everybody. Moses said, if your presence will not go with us, let us remain in this territory where we are sure that your presence is with us. This may be the answer to some of the tragedy of many of our parents. They got up because of looking for greener pastures. They just packed their load and said, Lagos, here we come. 10 years now, they are still suffering. Every door shut at your face is a sign to go back for retreat and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Where am I missing it? Don't just let jobs and all of these things decide your destiny. I know this looks like a stupid statement, and many people will criticize me for it. They'll say, are you joking? In Nigeria, where there's no job. But you must be careful. You exercise dominion in the place of your territory. Your territory does not just mean the geography alone, it means your jurisdiction of operation. Are you getting me? If I go and enter the prophetic ministry right now, as an office, I'm not a prophet. As an office, I may operate in prophetic dimensions, but God did not call me as a prophet in officially, like your office, your jurisdiction. If I now say I'm going to come in and make sure I prophesy for everybody one by one, I give you 2 weeks. Many of you will start praying and fasting for me because you will start having all kinds of dreams of me missing it. You say, oh God, what is happening? This guy is missing this thing. There are many men of God who were called to be teachers or pastors, but they got outside of territory. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There are other people who were called into prayer ministries. Their anointing is the anointing for intercession, but they've now begun to teach wealth seminars and teaching all kinds of prosperity conventions. That's not wrong, except that you have come out of territory. Everybody say territory. You will only walk in your dominion if you confine yourself and limit yourself to your territory, your jurisdiction of operation. There are certain dimensions of ministry. If God instructs me to engage in, I will find graces that are called at the heart of that area and bring them. It doesn't matter whether I can preach more than them. It doesn't matter whether I have more miracles than them. It's about the grace and the dominion. When a man is in his area of territory, you will exercise dominion freely. You see why a lot of pastors are struggling. You go to a church and copy what a man of God is doing. You do not know his ministerial packaging. Are you getting my point? So many people who are pastors trying to do the work of apostles, little persecution comes and they are crying. They cannot move forward because, see, when God calls a man, he equips you according to the office. When you learn this law, you will walk in dominion, absolute dominion. There are things I have no business doing. If God gives me an instruction, he will have to give me a special grace for it, or direct me to the people who will administer that level of building to the body of Christ. Watchman Nee calls it the limitation of the body. People struggle because they do not understand their jurisdiction of operation. Is someone getting blessed tonight? Your assigned territory. God has honored you in the area of catering. When it comes to catering, you walk in dominion there. The next thing, you got up and you just heard that people are doing building materials, and you just get up and go there. You say, I'm supplying building materials. Your first supply, there was trouble. Second supply, 10 years down the line, you are still struggling. Everybody say territory. Thank you, Jesus. The second law, and then we will pray. This one is very important. It is a law that you must believe in and walk in it. It's called the law of exchange. This is a powerful spiritual law if you must walk in dominion. Giving something you love for something you desire is called the law of exchange. The law of exchange.
You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you have created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and now exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You are my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you. You are the only one who died for me. You gave your life to set me free. And so I lift my voice to you in adoration.
Listen, how many of you have heard that a man gave up his ability to give birth to children for money? Have you heard of that? Everybody say the law of exchange. When you understand this law, you will know the reason why evil seems to happen in a place unhindered. When the Bible says an eye for an eye, have you heard that? Tooth for tooth. I've studied it. It's not like when I break your teeth, you will break back my own to revenge. Are you getting me? It's called compensation. That means if I do something to you, you must take back something that can appease you to the equivalence of the offense. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's called the law of exchange. That's where we get trade by barter. I give you a cow. You must find something that is commensurate to the worth of that cow. Are you getting me? That's why when man fell, based on the justice of God, God looked around to see what can be given. He said, if I give Gabriel, it's not enough. If I give Michael, it's not enough. Do you know why? Because angels themselves are imperfect. I hope you know it. Angels excel in light. They excel in strength. But they are still imperfect. Do you want me to show you? Job. Let's look at it. One scripture. You are the one who said I should show you. Turn to the book of Job. Sorry about the time. We'll round up now. He could not give the angels because they are imperfect. Job 4. Please project it. Job 4, verse 18 and 19. I want us to read it together. Job 4. Can we hurry up? Our time is... Job 4. Everyone read. One to read. He charges angels with what? Verse 19. He said, even his servants, he didn't trust them. And even the angels, he charged them with foolishness. How much more a man that wants God to use him without being trained? So God could not give Gabriel and Michael and all of these people. And so he looked at the perfect one, the sinless one, and said, you are the only one that can go as an exchange for what I desire. Please listen to me. The same principle Satan wanted to use for Jesus Christ. He took Jesus to the mountain and he said, bow to me. In other words, let me give you wealth and exchange it with your loyalty for me. Are you getting my point? Just bow to me. Since you are the expression of the Godhead, bow to me so that the Father will see you bowing to me and I can give you wealth. So when a man goes to meet a herbalist, it tells him, what are you going to give me in exchange? Please listen. I will tell you, this is the reason why many territories are powerful. This is why some of the terrorisms you see in Nigeria are powerful. They always give something in exchange for the authority to invade a territory. That's why they do it, military might irrespective. Are you getting my point? When you come to God and say, Lord, I want you to use me. God says, what is the exchange for it? And he said, Lord, take my life. Have you heard that scripture that says, what shall it profit a man if he does what? And what? Loses his soul. That means, he said, Satan, let's do business. And Satan said, of course, I'm a good businessman. I will give you my soul. Give me the world. So that anywhere I do business, whether in Italy, whether in Dubai, let it work. So that I must be the governor of this state, or I must be this, take my soul. So that I will be the reigning musician, and nobody can stop me. And he says, all right, let's have the deal. And he says, take my soul. They have received the mark of the beast. That's the 666 there. It's not something that will be put on their hand. They have given their soul. They have received the mark. Are you getting my point? So Satan comes to you. What do you want to give in exchange? Please listen. Something must be given in exchange. If you must walk in true dominion. Everybody knows this. It's not a herbal strategy. It's a spiritual strategy. I'm walking in the anointing. I'm walking in by the grace of God. Because I received this of grace. But something went for it. My life, my will, my ambitions, my desires, they were laid down. That's why I wrote that song. Take all of me, you have my everything. That's my deal with God. You have my everything. Are you getting me? So my entire life will give him glory. The day I compromise on my own part of the deal, his mercy will show up. But if I walk in rebellion, I have broken the deal. That's the reason why a man can give an exchange. He will say, I will give you my firstborn. Only give me this political position. When the firstborn is now born, the people come and say, oh yeah, oh, we gave you the power, we gave you the wife, where is our firstborn? And you say, sorry, I didn't realize that children are this nice. I've changed my mind. They say, you've changed your mind, we will see. All of a sudden, the child starts getting sick. They must collect their child. Except the power of God intervenes. This is the reason why many families are suffering. People covenanted families in exchange for money. Kings covenanted their territories. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They gave it in exchange for protection. They gave it. There are families that gave in exchange their fertility. So no children can happen in that family. There are families that traded boys. They said there shall be no men. Take, give us might. What men would have done, let the women in our family do. But take all the men. And you find out that no matter how people try, they will never give birth to men. They give birth to men, they will die. No matter what happens. You just hear that he was taking fresh air outside. A bike came and carried him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Exchange. See, these laws are not Old Testament laws. They are spiritual laws. They are still working today, here and now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the law that terrorists use. Before they ever carry an assignment, they must take out time. Are you seeing the reason why every time they shed blood, people become richer? Think about it. The moment blood is shed, somebody makes money. Exchange. 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 Are you seeing the reason why the sacrifice of Solomon touched the Lord? He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. It was an expression of his heart. God could not stop. He came down. Many of us may never walk in dominion because you are not ready to exchange your life for his life. You are not ready to exchange your strength for his strength. But tonight, how many people are ready to say, Lord, take everything. If this is the price for your grace and your glory, don't let anybody fool you and say there's no price. You go to a herbalist and see if he will just give you power like that. Look at me. There are men who sacrifice their wives for wealth, true or false? Some Christians, right? There are pastors who sacrifice their children for church growth. There are pastors who sacrifice their members for expansion. I've said it again and again, nothing just happens. The day Jesus will come, we have a long world film to watch. That's when we will know that most of the things we call coincidences were not coincidences. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. I will never forget one time I was praying in the night years ago, and I prayed and I was dedicating my body unto God. I stripped myself the way my mother gave birth to me, and I lay down on the floor. I said, Lord, let this body become a superconductor of your anointing. If there is anything you can do to this mortal body, let it carry your power. This body cannot be used for sin and hell. I dedicate it unto you. And God said, this is what you are giving me. I will put my glory upon your life. And somebody just comes and says, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And the demons are just looking and say, look at all these ignorant people. These are the negotiations that many scientists did with aliens. Are you getting me? Many intelligent people. They said, give us give us technology, give us the wisdom you used and gave the pharaohs of old. Give us and let us do supernatural things. In exchange, we will give you the souls of men. We will give you mankind. We will give you a lot of things. And it's happening here in the earth. That's why you can see a man sitting down. All of a sudden, within 2 weeks, this man becomes a mysterious millionaire. Either God has done something to him or the devil has done something. There was an exchange somewhere. A man of God is sitting down and all of a sudden power comes upon his life. He begins to do supernatural things. I tell you, there is an exchange. He has either gone to the throne of grace to exchange his life and say, Lord, take it. Take my life and use me for your glory. Or he has gone to a herbalist and said, take my firstborn. Or every two years, kill 10 members from my church as a sacrifice and let the anointing keep rising. The life that I now live, Paul told us the secret of his anointing. He said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of God.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give.
I'm teaching you spiritual laws.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Listen, you can copy a man. If you have not laid down what that man laid down, you will never carry what he carries. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can copy the way he talks. You can wear suits like him. If you cannot lay down and exchange what that man exchanged in the secret place, you will never. That's why you can listen to a message that may not be so powerful by a man of God, but tremendous grace follows it because there is a fraternity with God. That's why you can see a herbalist. He can make people millionaires, but he lives in a coven. It was the exchange for the power. He can make people billionaires, but he will never stay in a big house. He will never wear good clothes. He will wear rags. Papa Iya Deboe, I said it last week. He's made it a vow and a culture that everywhere he goes, he will get down on his knees. That was his exchange for the kind of glory. What are you exchanging? Let me tell you, when you enter into the realm of the spirit, you will see men who have exchanged things. Men who have given their souls to herbalists. They want the same job you want. They want the same business you want. They are killing human beings and sacrificing it. And you are just standing lukewarm. There is no sacrifice. There's no exchange. And you believe in the labor market and compete with them. There must be an exchange. It is this exchange that will end sickness in your body. It's this exchange that can make angels come and cover your plane so that it will not crash. It's not just about you. You have exchanged something in the spirit. He said, I shall not die. This is the exchange for living long. I will live to declare. There are some people that are unkillable. It's not about confessing, I will live. You don't know what they have done in the secret place. That's why God can kill a whole nation for the sake of that man. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. When Laban did not know the exchange. He didn't know what happened between the mother of Jacob and Esau. Laban wanted to cheat Jacob. That anointing came and animals started reproducing after the colors of Jacob's animal. And Laban said, I testify that God has blessed me. Listen, when a man has made an exchange in the realm of the spirit, you touch him to your own detriment, because there is an altar that speaks for him.
My altar is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you, oh God.
Listen, this is why you can see certain people shout and say, I can never be poor.
They say, I can never die. I've told you, I remember when I packed everything that I had, home and abroad. I put it in one bag and I went to a prosperity convention. My entire life belonging home and abroad, aside from the current clothes that I was wearing. It took a sacrifice to put your family in the covenant of poverty. It will take an exchange to bring them out. Don't let any man fool you. I dragged those things to the altar. I sat down outside like the overflow like this. I know we've taken time, but what I'm sharing is somebody's deliverance tonight. Any powerful man you see from today, let me tell you something, there was an exchange. It's an irrefutable spiritual law, either to God or to the devil. Crowd does not just come. Are you hearing me? Koinonia, people are not just coming because they want to come. There is a force, there is the strength of sacrifice unto God, a covenant of teaching truth. It's a fraternity with God. Oh God, bring the people and I will teach them truth. Bring the people and I will teach them, no matter what it will cost me. And God said, the deal is done. And a young pastor just gets up and believes that is by church growth principle. You gun posters everywhere, knock from door to door, and the realm of the spirit is saying, do you not know there is a law? My altar, rise up on your feet, is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you. My altar is calling you. Hallelujah. I'm going to make an altar call. Your first exchange starts when you come to Jesus Christ. If you have not given your heart to the Lord, there is no exchange. There is nothing that gives you the audacity to walk free from evil. The devil will buffet you. Or if you've given your heart to the Lord, but you found yourself derailing, it's risky. Tonight, run to this refuge called Jesus Christ. If you are here inside and outside, as we prepare to begin to pray, you say, man of God, I want to make up my life with Jesus Christ. I want to stand on a sure foundation. Please leave your seat and come out right now. Whether you are making that decision for the first time or not, inside and outside, take the courage to come out right now. Take the courage to come out right now. God bless you. Take the courage to come out right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of anybody. If you are making that decision, God bless you. Koinonia, celebrate them inside and outside. It's time to deal with the things that are destroying your destiny. It starts with Jesus. Keep coming. We're out of time. Get tired of your life and say, Lord, this is the first exchange tonight. This is the first exchange. Make it for real. Make it for real. Exchanging your sin nature for his righteousness. Exchanging your weakness for his strength. Exchanging yokes and covenants for his liberty and freedom. God bless you. Keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming. God bless you. Hallelujah. Those of you standing, I salute you. This is the first exchange you're making. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You will be separated from many things right now. Hallelujah. Lift your right hand and say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe in you. Tonight, I have come before your throne of mercy to exchange my sin for your righteousness. To exchange my weakness for your strength. Goodness, the power of God is so strong. As I stand here, I feel the anointing. In a very, help him please. The law of exchange. This is what is happening in the realm of the spirit. I exchange my weakness for your strength. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I'm born again My God, Spirit of the Living God, seal this exchange. And from today, I belong to Jesus. From today, let the blood of Jesus speak for me. Forward ever and backward never, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as these ones exchange the nature of sin for the righteousness of God, I pray that every power that holds them, let it leave right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. They walk in righteousness, and it's a new day for them, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for making this decision. I want you to follow the ushers very quickly. They'll have your information and you'll be back. God bless you. Thank you so much. Two prayer points in 2 minutes and we're done. While we're praying these prayers, those who are visiting with us or worshiping with us for the first time, I'd like you to come out. There is always a prayer and a prophecy. So while you pray, just come out as you pray. Just come out as you pray. One prayer point. Oh Lord, I receive grace to stay in my jurisdiction of operation. Lift your voice and pray. While they are praying, first timers, start coming out. God bless you. Everybody lift your voice and pray. Lord, I receive grace. I receive grace in the name of Jesus. I receive grace in the name of Jesus. I receive grace. God bless you. Keep coming. Everyone pray. I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. You're going to say, Lord, tonight I exchange my life for your glory. Go ahead and pray. Lift your voice. Pray from your heart. Take my life, oh God. It is true that I want to see your glory in my life, but I've been holding back. Tonight, oh God, take my life in exchange for your glory, in exchange for your power, in exchange for your wisdom, in exchange for your strength. Let me live for you all the days of my life. And Lord, I know you are committed to blessing me. From today, I am untouchable. There is an exchange. Come on, prophesy to yourself. I am unkillable. In the name of Jesus, there is a sacrifice on the altar. From today, I enjoy the lifting of God. I've given up my life for His glory, for His power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, those of you worshiping with us. What a night. You will never be the same in the name of Jesus. I assure you, you will return with dramatic testimonies of the hand of God upon your life. Through the teachings, the revelations, the prayer, something will happen in your life that will set you on fire. We want to pray for you and bless you. We are anointed and we are blessed in this house. As we pray for you, I want you to receive it. Saints of God, stretch your hands and pray for them. Call them blessed. It's within your power to bless them. You have become a living sacrifice. So there is grace for you to speak and it comes to pass. There is grace for you to sacrifice. You've given Him your everything. Bless them, O God. We bless you with hunger for spiritual things. We bless you with the power of the Holy Ghost. We bless you with favor. May your heavens be open. You will go back and walk in dramatic miracles and testimonies. The favor of God is upon you. We bless you with the gift of God's presence upon this house. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. This is Koinonia.
We're here every week. This is not our permanent venue. We're using this for now. But we bless you and thank you for coming. We honor you. And I want you to know that the Lord will take you from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. I'd like you to please follow the ushers, the gentlemen in red and black, and they'll warmly welcome you and give you some information, and you'll be back. Celebrate them, Koinonia, very quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaCharity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaKNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com.